Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that.
So are you on your new band right now?
Yeah.
We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared, but relatively concerned. Oh, there's man, it's coming out. It's all coming out. I don't know. Following up Harry Vox with Dr. Judy Mikovits is awesome. You know, this is what happened. Dr. Judy is Harry did a video presentation about 6 years ago, describing exactly from some Rockefeller paper. Exactly what was going to come out and how they did it. But their mechanism that he pontificated was going to happen wasn't going to be this new COVID, whatever the hell it was. It was Ebola. And I told him that I'd ask you about this because this has come up as we talked with you before. In your research or technology or you're working on or something back in the late 90s, you were trained. I remember you saying something about training Ebola to infect humans. Tell me all about that. What the heck are you talking about?
I have to use different words than training. So my job in between 1990, I'd say 5 or 6, and a publication we did in 1999, my job was to find a cell line or cells, human cells or animal cells, monkey cells, that intermediate host from Ebola that can also come from bats, and the Zaire strain, which killed all the cells. So you can't study a virus or weaponize it if it kills all the cells. It doesn't spread around the globe. If it kills the cells immediately, it has to be able to live there and replicate and have that little virus factory that you drew the picture of for the XMRVs. But at any rate, so my job was find a cell line, human or monkey, that Ebola wouldn't kill. And of course, we did that, and that Vero E6 cell line is the cell line they're using to grow SARS-CoV-2, the coronaviruses that are at the heart of this weaponization. So in 2014, remember the Ebola outbreak in Liberia?
Yeah, and they made a big deal out of, and somebody flew here and they did, and CDC on, it's all be a fear and all that stuff.
It was a big deal, and Harry's right. That was an attempt to release Ebola on us, because that Zaire strain was clearly, it had 300 mutations, so it was clearly what we call a non-natural evolution, an accelerated evolution. It's pretty clear to most of us in science that Ebola strain that killed 21,000 Liberians came from Fort Detrick. And that was the cell line I worked on, and my job was to determine what was the difference between that pathogenic strain in human cells and the non-pathogenic Reston strain. And so that was a publication that we did, and the cytokine storm is almost exactly overlapping with COVID-19's cytokine storm.
Okay, now why were you doing that? What was the purpose?
I was told we were doing that, so it was a collaboration between the National Cancer Institute, which is literally right across the street, the baseball field there at Fort Detrick, from the biosafety level 4 in USAMRIID. So I was doing that because I thought we could, that we were told that we have to learn how to attenuate the virus, that is, make it weaker so that it doesn't kill people. So that, and this was 1996 to 99. And remember, the outbreak in Liberia was 2014. And these events are described in detail in our new book, Plague of Corruption, as well. And so this is...
So you were trying to make it to where Ebola would be attenuated, which means weakened. You beat it over the head with a baseball bat or something.
Right,
so that you could make it into a vaccine or
We weren't in the vaccine manufacturer, but target therapeutics. So what you do is, if you understand what makes it pathogenic, then you can target therapeutics to kill it should it ever emerge again. In what we were told was a natural way. So we didn't develop vaccines, we developed therapeutics. So when you know the therapeutic target, when you know the part of the virus, like for instance in this SARS-CoV-2, it's those ACE2, ACE2, the angiotensin converting, you know, that allows it to get into human cells, and that's how it becomes so pathogenic. Another co-receptor is TMPRSS2, which is really important in aggressive prostate cancers in our work with the XMRV. So, it was to develop therapeutic targets if you know the parts of the virus that are killing people. And the difference, because there are many strains of Ebola, the one we were studying was the Reston, Virginia strain. So that's totally non-pathogenic. And we know there are many coronaviruses, you know, retroviruses that are totally non-pathogenic. So what's the difference between those deadly strains? That's what we were studying. And then we developed therapeutics, not vaccines.
Which means a therapeutic is what?
Hydroxychloroquine. Type 1 interferons, vitamin C, zinc, strategies. We developed therapeutic strategies to prevent disease development. And we knew hydroxychloroquine worked against the Ebola and stopped that outbreak cold in its tracks.
Okay, so this is a process by which what? The main function was to keep it from replicating. Is that your primary baseball bat? Is that if the virus can't make more viruses and it dies off or something, what are some of the strategies?
Correct. If the virus can't replicate and have a little virus factory reservoirs in the tissues of the host, in the humans, it can't cause disease. So think about the hantavirus. Do you remember the hantaviruses?
Oh, yeah. It's a big deal here in the desert Navajo area.
Correct.
In Arizona. It's from the urine of mice, and the Native Americans here know if you ever see a mouse, you throw out all the food because of Hanta. I mean, it was a big deal, yeah.
So what it does when the mice, say you eat the food and there's the virus in the mouse, it's another RNA virus, it will kill anybody who eats the food. So you can't, when the host dies, those outbreaks kill 10 or 15 people, not millions around the world. So the hantavirus hasn't evolved to spread through humans because it kills the cells. And so, again, the Hanta is one they plan to release. So
that's what their MO is that they find something that's very deadly, and they go, God, that's very deadly. We like that, but it's too deadly. It needs to, replicate. It needs to spread. It needs to be contagious. So, Dr. Judy, go in your lab and make it to where we can make it do something.
Well, that's not exactly the way they put it. And, again, I was only 30.
I understand. But, I mean, this is what's going on.
This is what we're told as scientists. This is the big lie, the big, because we're told as scientists our discoveries are being used for good and they're not. And so, exactly. It's study it. And so those Ebola outbreaks in Africa were similar to Hanta outbreaks
This has been going on for a long time. We're going into break. We'll be right back. Dr. Judy Mikovits, there's a whole bunch to get caught up on. Dr. Judy going to hip us out. We'll be right back. You're on Declare Your Independence.
from the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
Okay, we got 1 minute before we come back. I had to go to the bathroom about an hour and a half ago.
Yeah, me too. Somebody might call me on a Skype here for a sound check for another show I'm doing at 9:30. Okay. I'm going to text her and see if she could do that Skype text at 9.
Yeah, we need to talk about, well, I want to finish up on, you know, the it's weaponization, or at least getting the data to weaponize or whatever, and it goes in. Yeah, Harry Vox was a one of the early alternative media guys, and the Secret Service and FBI, you know, came and explained it to him after he's outing them and all this crap. And so he's definitely one of the, and he came, that video that he did in October of, 14, just verbatim, that I'm like, whoa, what the hell was that, you know? I remember those days. All right, here we're coming back.
Your favorite DLRN?
Yeah, you can't hear the LRN feed. We got to fix that.
Twitter.LRN.FM. Okay. That's Twitter.LRN.FM.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And Dr. Judy Mikovits. Now, Dr. Judy has been busy. But I wanted to finish on this. I don't know what else to call it. Weaponization, or at least getting the information to weaponize these viruses. So they'll go to the science compartmentalization. We need you to do this one thing. Okay, I did that one thing. You don't realize that it's the, you know, part of a bigger thing, you know. And what's necessary is that a lot of these diseases, no matter how bad, even if they're the worst ones, if you do the, you know, pandemic app or something, you're playing the game, the one thing you need it to be very contagious. You need it to not kill the host right away. It needs to be able to spread. You need, there are all these variables that you put in. It's like, you know, their AI goes to all these millions of people playing this game, and they go, yeah, let's do it like that. Well, the first thing that they need to do is to make these very terrible diseases, a lot of times these viruses, not to be so lethal right away so that it spreads, and that's what they were asking you to try to accomplish, true?
Yeah, essentially that's what they were asking me to try. Understand what makes them lethal and how the immune system could fight them if you were infected. And unfortunately, understanding what made them lethal, the evil powers turning that into make them lethal and kill you a little less quickly and then you know, things like aluminum, things like 5G, things like glyphosate, that just accelerates the spread and the and of course vaccines with all those toxins and other adventitious agents. So yeah, they're weaponized, and they've been doing that now at least, you know, 25 years that we're aware.
So this, as you've done your second book, your first book, Plague, then you have Plague of Corruption, and you certainly learned a lot in your process for writing the first book. Then, you know, you go years and, man, you learned a whole bunch more you put in the next book. And after the most recent book had just been released, are you looking at new editions? You got to add a bunch more, or you got a third book coming?
Well, you got a third book coming.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
We have so much in the first two, and then every single time, obviously, our now New York Times bestseller list of Plague of Corruption in a little less than a month. And in that month, we've learned so much, and we have so much that we have in the archives that we never published. We're just turning it into a third book right now, and that'll come out literally within the next 6 months.
Really? Oh, well, it's
because it's all there. We have, and we didn't understand it. Now we can understand it and appreciate it, because we didn't have my papers from, you know, my work in the 90s. We didn't really appreciate that at the level we do now.
You know, what didn't you appreciate? I mean, you knew you were in amongst the evil of, and we've talked a lot about it over the years. You and I have gone, you know, step by step through a lot of this stuff. And I think, you know, as time and it kind of, your time might open up a little bit here in the future, we'll be able to do just podcasts and go beginning to end on a lot of different segments of this, because the more I see of you and I hear you're getting really tight. You're getting very, you know, to the point on a lot of stuff. We're having a much better understanding of different things that we've talked about before. And our audience got a good science lesson in a lot of things that you discovered. And what I'm finding out in your interviews is that this was not common knowledge to a lot of people over the last decades. And that the doctor, when you were revealing a lot of these things that you discovered, they're like, oh, there it is, man. Finally, somebody figured it out. No, shut up. Don't listen to her, FBI raider, whatever the hell, because we don't want you to know. What didn't they want people to know that you revealed?
Well, they didn't want, for instance, in our first two books, or in our first book, we knew little about vaccines. The first book was heavily weighted to the contaminated blood supply, heavily weighted. And it was only one of our former colleagues in HIV/AIDS that said, hey, the most likely place this got into the blood supply, I mean, the most likely way this got into the human virome of 25 to 50 million Americans was because that animal tissue was injected in vaccines. So those Mises pieces, the mouse pieces, that the same cell line were growing Ebola, is this, and SARS-CoV-2 is the cell line we grow the polio vaccine. So we've literally, and what did Gates say the last few weeks? Oh, we're gonna fight COVID with the polio vaccine. Well, exactly. You're just going to spread, you know, those other adventitious agents right along, because they've already injected, you know, most of America with these viruses, with these blueprints, and then you hit the detonate switch when you're exposed to that next infection, and you kill them, or 5Gs, or glyphosates, or everything working together.
You know what this reminds me of? Do you remember the old, the first remake of Batman with Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson as the Joker?
Yeah, I do.
In that, the whole thing was that they discovered that it wasn't just the hairspray. It wasn't just the hand lotion. It wasn't just the makeup. It was a combination of them, and you got the right combination, all of a sudden you die with a smile on your face, okay? And that's what I'm feeling. It's like they're prepping us. They're getting it all, and then there's some trigger. There's some triggering event. There's some, you know, triggering infection. And when you do that, it because your immune system has been set up to react, like you're calling this cytokine storm. And describe what that means to people.
It just means, so inflammation, in the middle of that word is a flame, a fire. So your immune system turns on the fire. You get a fever because that's how you kill the invaders. So you get, you turn on the flame in order to kill the pathogen. And then the problem is because things like 5G turn it on, because glyphosate prevents your glutathione, your intracellular, turn off the flame switch, but no vitamin C, no healthy food. You can't turn off the flame. We've talked at length about the cannabinoid, the endogenous cannabinoid system, and I just presented that at the Virtual Autism One conference an hour ago. So your endocannabinoid system is the dimmer switch on the flame. So they outlawed the cannabinoids from plants, you know, in 80 years ago, in the 30s. And so now we can't turn off the flame, turn down the flame. And now we've crippled a glutathione with glyphosate Roundup around the world in our soil, in our food, in our water supply. And then we add the flame with aluminum. We cripple the ability of the fire trucks to control the fire, the macrophages, the immune response. So all of those things go together and you can't turn it off. So all they have to do is basically like tickle you with a common cold, coronavirus, upper respiratory infection, and force you to wear a mask. That turns on the flame. So everything they've said in the public health strategies for so-called COVID-19 is like this.
It's a lie. It's a lie. Going into break, Dr. Judy. We'll be right back. More Dr. Judy Mikovits. We'll get learnified here in just a minute. We'll be right back. Yeah, no, this is okay. You got somebody calling? You got to do that?
Not yet. I got a minute before they call in, but I'm on my Skype, so I'm hoping that it comes off on my computer and not my phone.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll work through it. I know you're busy. I appreciate you giving us all this time. This is, you've been. Man, you're getting all, are you seeing all the attention you're getting, or are you just not really paying attention, or what?
Well, I see a lot of the good stuff. People are keeping a lot of the bad stuff away from me, but unfortunately I need to see that as well. So I do see the attention I'm getting, and it's right now it's not all that good. Although I do appreciate the love and the prayers, you know.
Well, do you want to testify before Congress, or is that just going to be a sham, or what?
Oh, no, I absolutely. I mean, I've had several senators, good people, calling me to say, you know, this looks like, it, for instance, in the hydroxychloroquine trial, you know, it looks like it's designed to fail, and it absolutely is, that use it wrong. And this is what they've done with the drugs for HIV, AIDS, back in the age. Use them wrong and convince everybody.
Okay, yeah, save it for this live show. When we come back, I want to talk about this hydroxychloroquine kind of whatever. Okay. And then I don't give a crap how nice and sweet senators and congressmen are. They're all lying sacks of snot. So I wouldn't trust a damn one of them.
I don't know that I trust anyone, but I absolutely am willing to testify. If it helps anything at all, I'm willing to testify.
Well, you know they're just going to, you know, whatever. I'd like, bring it on, you know.
Yeah, you can bring it on. They can attempt to slaughter me or defame me.
Bring it.
I mean, there's nothing I haven't endured the last decade, right?
This is, I'm not sure how they're, I don't know how they're going to do this. It's coming out. I don't know, you know, the Trump administration, what's going on there, the election, the economy. I mean, all this is like a perfect storm of, now's the time. They're in for a penny in for a pound now. This is it. They're not going to, like, you know, back off and come back later. I mean, they're going to, you know, muscle this through whatever they think they got to do. And
yeah, this is it. You lose this war, and if we lose this war, we've lost everything.
Yeah, Donna and I are busting our ass trying to get on the freaking road. Where it looks like we may be able to leave within the next couple of days. So
yeah,
we're working on it, and we need to get going. And but it's been a thing, man. One of these days I'll get the grease out from under my fingernails. But, you know, And then Donna's taking care of all the. But when we get small and we get on the road, oh, a bunch of my time just got freed up. What shall I do with it? You know? So you live kind of light, you know?
Yeah, we live light. We're in a studio, a 500 square foot studio, and we, you know, we jump in our little Prius car and we go here and there and everywhere. We'll be in Ramona May 30th and 31st at the Ramona main stage. There's a big rally and gathering with Graham Ledger and different people for the freedom. It's called A-Floor.
What state is that?
California. You know, we're not too far from you.
Yeah, well, we're going to be back east, and we're doing a bunch. We'll overlap. We'll work on it. We'll make sure promoting.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there.
All right, here we're coming back. 10 seconds.
Okay.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock
and Dr. Judy Mikovits. You know, this is big petition. A lot of people, they probably got enough already. God, we need Dr. Judy Mikovits to testify for Congress so they can, you know, slap her around. She can slap them around and be a slap fest. And I'm going, you know, I don't trust these guys. I don't care. But if you want to get it on the record, you can say whatever you want. And you go, yeah, well, I say you're full of crap. And, you know, let me tell you about whatever she wants to tell you about. So I asked Dr. Judy, I go, you know, I asked her here live. I go, you want to go testify at Congress? You want to go play that game?
Yeah, I mean, I'm never going to say I can't back up every word I've said the last 40 years with absolute proof. And I can back up every word we've said for the last 40 years with absolute proof. We can expose to the extent that anyone really wants to hear. I know none of us believe that anything about Congress or the Senate is free, free speech, constitutional, nothing that's been done in the last, two decades, whatever, you know, looks constitutional or legal to me. But hey, if you say no, you won't talk to them, you know, so we're petitioning to go to Senate and Congress, to the president, and say, here, talk to us. Why do we only have one voice?
Oh, so country? You're participating in the call for you to go to Congress?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we put it up on the site. We're making a deal out of it. But I'm like, I don't know if she wants to. I mean, these guys, I don't trust. Nope, bring it on. Let's do it. All right.
Right.
I'll watch that. Okay. Do you think it'll happen?
No, I don't.
Yeah, no chance.
You don't. They don't want to hear from me or any of the honest people who know the truth. They have to keep the American people. That's why the film Plandemic keeps coming down. Everything they even took down from my own website, the talk I gave last October, the talk I gave at the Vaccine Education Summit to you last September. You know, the data was right there, and they took them off our website and said, oh, that's dangerous content. Dangerous content. Why is it dangerous?
Okay, wait. What do you mean they took it off your website? You mean they took...
literally had our website. They took off some of the slideshows we posted. I believe
go to plandemicmovie.com, and on your website, there's data there that they disabled somehow.
No, you go to plaguethebook.com.
Plague the book.
And they disabled our talk from the vaccine. See, we post talks I give in PDF form on our website, and they took Truth About Cancer and yours down last week.
You know, we have that other places, and we've done the, you know, I got to show you how to do the IPFS, because when the Plandemic movie, they started doing this, we put it on IPFS, and it's there forever and always, and it's one of the more popular downloads on my site. They can't take it down.
Right. And so with Plandemic, I'm directing people who say they can't find the movie to just go to your site and go to you, and you'll find the truth.
This is, I'm looking forward to getting on the road so I can concentrate on promotion of that. I got to get on the road. So after that, within a week or two, you're going to start seeing a lot more push from me and the Hellfire missile bullseye put on top of the bus thing for them. You know, whatever. I can't imagine letting people. Aren't you afraid, Ernie? I'm afraid of not getting my butt out there and doing everything I can. That's what I'm afraid of. You know, what are they going to do? I don't know, but that's not what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of this information not getting out, which is why we had Harry Vox come on. Been detailing this for a long time. Just got reactivated after, God, 6 years or so being out. The FBI and Secret Service explained it to him, and he just started in January again. And this is the time. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. Well, Dr. Judy has been screaming this for years. When did Plague, your first book, come out?
November 18th of 2014.
Okay, now the attention that you got from that and the ridicule and the promotion and the whatever, you know, we were doing everything we could to help keep you at top of the list at Safer there. And then you do Plague of Corruption, the book, and that made you kind of busy. And now, I mean, is there a day that goes by that you're not interviewing, talking to somebody, doing something?
No, and usually this day started at 6 o'clock a.m. and it'll end about 4 with almost nonstop talks. And most days are like that.
Is your husband complaining, or he's like, yep, there it is. All right, I guess we're off vacation now.
Yeah, he only complains about the 6 a.m. one, so I have to move. It's so hard in this studio because I have to move to the other side of the room so he can sleep, and you can't turn a light on. So I say, I'll only do radio. You can't see my face at 6 a.m., but in Autism 1 today, they actually could see my face at 6 a.m. So
yeah, your husband, he's retired and on vacation, and you're like making him work. You know, he's like, damn it. But now's the time. You know, I know. You know, he's going to be the hero in the movie. I got to figure out who's going to play him. That'd be awesome. But anyway, so this is Such Is Your Life. But you getting the word out? I mean, is it starting to happen? I mean, of course they're coming after you. I get, you know, a lot of, you know, text or email. Well, ask her this or ask her that or what about? I'm still waiting on a list from someone that wanted me to give you a whole. So they think I'm being too nice to you and not, you know, grilling you on different things, but. It was Ben Swan. Ben Swan, when he did a thing with you, last week or something, he put it up. And it was on how many hundreds, if not thousands of times, some ungodly number, that they keep editing and changing your Wikipedia page. This is, you know, a lot of us recognize that. They go in and they got to make it look, that's just CIA, man. They going in, they need to make you look a certain way of a something of their... They're editing your history as we speak, 1984 memory hole kind of crap right now. And I give you IPFS. So this is, you're aware of that thing? Yeah, Dr. Judy is in. We're just honored that she'll even, you know, give us any, you know, amount of time. But, she put it on, well, unmute it. Or maybe she muted it. Hit unmute. Yeah, she's got it muted. No, she's doing the archive, getting ready to do the other show. She has to deal with that, so we'll let her do that. She'll come back here in a little bit. But this is a lot of attention. Of course, what I want to talk to her about is all of the attention that she's getting manifesting in what? You know, what's the speaking opportunities? You know what? Is she just? I know how Dr. Judy. Yeah, whatever. You know what they? I just let them say it.
I am back.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, I knew you're probably. I knew you're probably getting all set up with them. Yeah, they're coming after you, and you're out there and you're making sure people know the truth about, but your bio on Wikipedia and your bio on different things, anything that they, them, those can control of Snopes and all this kind of stuff. She's a liar, liar, liar. And I didn't realize clearly so much what was happening until Tucker Carlson made a comment about this technique. He goes, when you have Adam Schiff and Pelosi come out and say this about that, of just saying the stupidest crap, and he goes, you know, the reason they do that is so that your grandchildren 20 years from now, that what they said is going to be in the textbook. They say it, they get a video of it, that all the truth and whatever was going on, or the people, even the common public opinion of everybody else, doesn't matter. It's what they said. They're seeding the internet with images and video and graphics and text just so that they can rewrite history later. And that's what I see is happening with Dr. Judy. Everybody believes her, that knows anything. They know they've met with her, they've watched her videos. That's not the truth that they're going to say.
Looking for a great real estate investment.
Right, and they've worked with me for 30 years, so they've even changed the science textbooks. They've even changed, you know, they force retract papers from journals. They do everything they can to remove the truth. Now we know that even our scientific journals are fake news. And so they change the message so that they interpret any data the way they want to interpret the data. And literally it's the end of free science, you know, and now I know that's been going on for a decade. So not only are the Tucker Carlsons or anybody else of the world, the CBS News, the CNN giving fake news, but they're basing it on Washington, on fake science news. And that's the worst of it. Because the scientists are doing good work, and their work is being either or deliberately misinterpreted or propagandized by
just plain censored.
Or just plain censored. So the retraction is the censor, and that implies some kind of fraud. And then they can use that mechanism, as they did with me, to imply nothing I did in my life is of value scientifically, and then they just wipe it all off the internet, out of the scientific papers, and replace it with their own lies.
It's obvious what they're doing, why, how. I just don't see it being successful anymore. And it's anybody that, you know, it's the go to the memory hole, go to the, you know, see, that's why I knew it had to be have access to the real information, you know, to the raw data, to have the, because their credibility is just going away. I don't see how they survive this, because that's one thing I really emphasized for a long time. The audience will remember me saying, the future is all about credibility. The future is going to be, who do you believe? And it get to the point to where you can't believe a damn thing they say. So I'm like, well, what'd you think was going to happen? You know,
Correct. So
now you have these documentaries, and when are they looking to release? I'm sure they're interviewing a lot of other people in different segments on different things. And when are they planning on having the full documentary, and how long is it going to be?
Well, I think within the next month we'll have the rest of that documentary. It was 24 minutes that we did while they've been working on it with other people as part of that documentary from Mickey Willis. And so I'm sure, and then I will go back also and talk again. So I'm sure it's going to be at least an hour and a half, and probably a bit longer, but many, many other scientists from different viewpoints and doctors saying the same thing. And so it's all coming to light.
Yeah, but what's the counter? What's the other guy's side? They go, nuh-uh, we're CNN. I don't understand what their counter is going to be other than trying to suppress more.
Well, the other side doesn't have a counter. In fact, last week we had several talks set up where I would talk to other doctors who have been saying the exact opposite, and they all canceled, as you might.
Yeah, this is – all right, we're coming back in about 15 seconds here. I want to talk about this very point. You know, this is – I don't know what their response is going to – let's talk about that. All right, well, here we come.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You are listening to Ernest Hancock
and Dr. Judy Mikovits. This is I'm wondering what the end game is. It's total control. We're going to take over, and we did. And public opinion is scared the crap out of them. Blah blah blah. But to do that and accomplish that, they got to increase their credibility while decreasing opposition's credibility. It's just like a political campaign. It's not as much about your positives. It's about the negatives of the other person. Yeah, we may have some, you know, scratches, but gosh darn it, we're not broken like that guy. So you can see this happening, and the future is all about credibility, you know, general public opinion. So I asked Dr. Judy here now, I'm going, Dr. Judy, what's their counter? I don't understand what they're going to be able to do. They, you know, don't listen to Dr. Judy, listen to us because of what? Nobody gets to hear? I think, you know, the technology is getting to the point to where they can't suppress it. We've demonstrated that. We did that. All of what we've been doing was for this, is when you have pandemic movie, you know, being censored, and there's always a place to go watch it. So I'm wondering what their counter is. Is it just space alien invasion of the nuclear blow up environmental volcano earthquake tornado? I mean, I what happens?
Well, the counter has been to simply censor it, take it down, because we always show the raw data. We always show the quotes where it's, this is not my opinion. So, you know, from, you know, from the movie Plandemic to basically everything I've done, the talks at the Truth About Cancer, the talks there with you last September at the Vaccine Education Summit, September, I believe, 28th of 2019, all of those talks are being censored, removed, you know, the PowerPoints. We just keep putting them up, and they have no counter. So their only counter is to censor it and flood the world with the character assassinations. And the good news is it's backfiring. And they're saying, don't read our book. Don't read that. That's garbage. Oh, and then Amazon comes out and says it has 1-star review, and that got 6 zillion likes, and nobody likes the other reviews. So there's just a directed, you know, assassination of character and trying to keep people from seeing the content. But of course, they can't do that anymore because of places like your site, because of Freedom's Phoenix, because of Brighteon, Mike Adams, other, you know, because of the technology, and we can put up the places and counter the censor. The people are waking up. Our book is a New York Times bestseller, and it's sold out in less than a few weeks.
Yeah, do you have another batch coming, and you can get it?
Yeah,
on
they're
Kindle.
They're already in stock.
You know, this is Brighteon. What did they come out with? I saw we put it up on Freedom's Phoenix. They go, yep, we did it. We put it up, and they took down our YouTube, Facebook pages of everything. Of we're not allowed to play anymore because we supported Plandemic. You know, this is what they did. This is exactly. You've been hearing me talk about this for years. I'm going, if you're dependent on their platforms, even emails, they are attacking ISPs and censoring our emails from our email dispatch. It's getting to where this, it's going to have to be the people's internet. It's going to have to be an alternative to. It's going to have to be. And that's what we're leading the charge on this for exactly this reason. This is the neon flashing example of what they have to stop. But you write a book. You got a book, you're getting a documentary. Hell, there needs to be a, you know, like a Silkwood share movie, nuclear meltdown kind of, you know, made for the big screen of whatever movie being done, dramatized with Meryl Streep playing Dr. Judy Mikovits. Right.
I don't think she looks much like me.
Well, whatever, you're a good actress.
I know. Yeah.
You know, for your husband, it could be Harrison Ford. Yeah, that's it. We'll do that.
There you go.
You know, this is, I was so certain that this was coming out, that all this information, but how do you think it's going to manifest in any kind of justice? Is, you know, Fauci going to lose his job? Is somebody going to jail? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I mean, that's our prayer. You know, we keep reiterating that, you know, we're not, I have to say at the end of every call, I'm not suicidal, and pray to the the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, in order for people to know that, you know, we're not going away, and this is you know, a war that God backs, and we'll be fine. It's crazy. I don't know where I see it going, but I hope, you know, every day I pray that those prayers all the time that in fact justice is served at the highest levels, and they'll be, you know, tried for treason in this country and worldwide.
You know, I don't make a big deal. I mean, it's not a secret that I'm Christian, but I don't make a big deal out of my faith or how much weight I put on that. You know, you just do the right thing, and you know, we're on the right side, and you know, I don't emphasize that because it's not that it's not relevant. It's just that I don't pander to a certain audience, but I just want to make it very clear.
Right.
This is a good versus evil thing.
Absolutely.
This is they conjure up as much as evil as they can through pain and suffering and blood and death and children and whatever it is, because they derive power from that, whether it's psychological, it's real, Satan, whatever it is, they genuinely do this. So the counter to that is, as it has always been, has been our faith in the goodness of humanity and God don't make no junk, you know, and you know, faith in what a divine connection that we all have. I mean, I don't know how simple, basic to put it for people, but this is a definite good versus bad thing. You just got to understand what good and what is bad. What is good and what is bad? Dr. Judy, last couple of minutes here. How do you determine who the good guys are?
Well, and that's exactly that. I mean, throughout our life, it's in my life and in both books, we talk about, you know, God. At the very basis, it's our Father, the God of Abraham, the biblical, the Word in Genesis. And, you know, the Word is good, the Word is God, the Word is truth. And that's exactly what our words have to be and what we have to tell everybody. That I determine the difference between good and evil is exactly biblical, as we're told in the Bible. The Word is love. Love is God, and this is evil is spinning hate and pain and disease and pestilence. That's just pure evil from the beginning.
Yeah, they're the four horsemen, man. They're just cookie cutter right out of Revelation. They skip to the end, and you got your number. I mean, this is amazing. In the early 80s, I read, God, what was it? Late Great Planet Earth, or God, you know, I mean, it was a bunch of Hal Lindsey. He's even been on, you know, the show, and it had a big impact on me as a, you know, a young, you know, teenage, 19, 20, 21, 22, and I remember all of these things that have to happen. This happens, and then you got, and this comes, God, and I'm like, you know what? Christ is going to find me busy. You know, it's like, all right. You know, you just keep doing what you're doing. Hey, I got this, man. Just let me, you know, I'm not, you know, sitting on my hands waiting for you to go take care of business, you know, because in the Bible, I remember the only time that Christ got mad, it was the money changers. It was the Federal Reserve. It was overturning the money tables. Sell your cloak for a sword. I mean, this guy was not as pacifist as a lot of people think. You know, the rebel Jesus against the, so this, we're on the right side of this. And if you just have, I mean, I know a lot of people, my libertarian, anarchist, atheist friends are like, you know, it's like in Serenity, you know, the movie Firefly, just believe in what? Just believe, you know, in good and doing the right thing. You know what the bad guys want you? They want you to shut up and believe. Shut up and believe what? What do we need to believe, Dr. Judy? We need
to believe the Bible. That, you know, from the beginning, the Word is God. That's why I say it goes all the way back to the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is Genesis. The Word is love and God. That's what we believe. And that's how we live. It's when you live that way, And you can see this is exactly that. You're talking about Daniel. You're the book of Daniel. You're talking about Revelations. You can see, you know, this play out. I mean, why would you have a House of Representative bill called 6666?
I know.
I mean,
like,
and that's taking
face,
away
man.
All our liberties. We're no longer one nation under God. You know, yes, we are. And we're one, we're under God. Totally.
You know, thank you, Dr. Judy. And there, we're at the end of the show. I know you got to get going.
Yeah, I got to hit this other call.
I'm so glad you just keep doing what you're doing, and we got your
Thank
back,
you.
And we'll be out there, you know, working for you. We'll stay in touch. Congratulations.
Okay. Thanks, Ernie. Well, you keep on too.
All right,
look forward to seeing you soon.